Wow, what a week. Hello, hello. How's everybody doing out there? Talking shit. That's right, talking shit. Tuesday, back on a regularly scheduled program. It's been a crazy week. A bunch of stuff had happened since the last time you guys saw me. I did the Street Alpha podcast. I went to TX2K to support Lund Racing competing in the Streetcar Elite class. It was a really, really good representation of what's possible with the stock ECU. Now, since I was gone that long, what ended up happening mostly was that people were commenting on the Street Alpha podcast. So I thought, should I lead with that or should I talk about basically what happened at Texas 2K? So I'm going to talk mostly Texas 2K stuff. There's a lot to talk about, a lot to cover. And I want to make sure I get as much information in as to what happened at Texas 2K, how we came to break our own record of 673. We drop it to, 676. We ended up going 673 and then 665 at 212, a huge jump in mile an hour. And I'll explain all of that to you, but not before. Mr. I even forgot how to work this thing. Mr. Bill O'Reilly says, oh my God, where is it? Where's Danger Zone? Holy shit. See guys, that's what happens when I'm gone a week. I'm gone a week and it's fucking gone. All right, guys, we'll do it live with Mr. Bill.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Right. Fucking thing sucks.
Oh my God, it sucks. Penis! Nick James, the Penis, that's right, the best cold air intake on the planet. Fuck any other cold air intake. Didn't have forms, you have forms.com. You can get cold air intakes, Whipple kits. You can even probably get a Whipple, Ford Performance, Lethal, you name it, the fuck kit. Whatever lid you want, they can probably get for you at dnhappforms.com. ParkParkParkParkParkParkParkParkParkParkParkParkParkParkParkParkParkParkParkParkParkParkParkParkParkParkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkparkpar to our solutions. Don't worry, Rami. We're back. We're back. We're going to get you guys tuned up. Caliber Transmission has the transmission fixed on the C6DR1. Needs a torque tube. So I'm going to be in it for a couple thousand dollars. Cadillac, Daniel Barato, the best wheels on the planet. Guys, check out all the roll cars at TX2K. They all had Cadillac wheels. And MFP of Australia, MFP, Matt Coates down there getting everything done. Billet, shit everywhere. Crank supports. I don't know. Is it winter down there now because it's getting to be summer up here? I have no fucking idea. Let's say hi to the people here and we'll get after it. We got Leon Phelps, Paul Ponthieu, I'm Hung So Low, Ray Ray, Johnny Boy, Coyote Freak, 94 GT Verb. Toon Taker Performance, Johnny Boy, Toon Taker Performance again, one of one RTR, Mac Attacks, 2JZ, Fox Body, Rob Quinn, D-Rock Fox, a Toon Taker Performance again, Garrett Smith, Leadfoot, Johnny Boy, D-Rock Fox, Killa, John Jones, J.D., Dixon, B. Lavesh, Tito Skorsky, Victor, Harley Taquachemo, Devin Marth, Angel, Puerto Rico, Joe Swift, Juice Did It, J.D. Swag, Gregory Ovich, Michael Loreno, J.D. Swag, Gregory Ovich, SVT, S550, we got Bandit, Robo Style, D-Rock Fox, Creative Assistance, Juan Salinas, Gallo Bravo, Carters, Alejandro Loaza, Todd O'Leary, Carters, Gallo Bravo again. We got AP 2002, Dina Hat Performance, Killa, Walter Hoffman, Bandit 50, Harley Taquachemode, pretty much stock. Ivan Wayne, Ian Oz, Modelist, Deuce Did It, Thunder Biscuit, Michael Hedziki, I'll get myself a battery, I got your email, sir. Anthony Alex, John Bailey, Narni Mercado, Mike May, EO says, I'm gay, Wicked Jackson, and pretty much stocked. Let's get all the way to the bottom and we'll start talking TX2K stuff. He says, I'm gay a bunch of times. Cody, Michael, Hatch 450X, 11 Second Whipple, Jacob, Terminator, Coyote, Wraith, 6668, wow. Brad Smith, Bender, and Smasher, Devar. Okay, guys. So, Lund Racing decided to head over to Texas 2K, but not before I did the Street Alpha podcast, and they aired it, I believe, on Friday. And after 8 days, it's almost up to 100,000 views for a three-hour podcast. It was a great time. The kid's a good kid. I saw him again at Texas 2K. He's traveling all over the place. He's getting stuff done. But anyway, 16-hour drive. We take off Sunday morning to Texas 2K. We get there, get all set up by Tuesday because, you know, we stay overnight somewhere, drive the following 8 or 9 hours, and then we're good to go. And the weather was going to be an issue right off the rip. So I am not blaming TX2K for that, obviously, but they did the best that they could given the circumstances, it being the first year at this event. I had never been to Ennis, Texas, and I probably will never be to Ennis, Texas again, not because it's bad or the track. It's just too far for me. It is, love TX2K. I want everyone to support TX2K stuff. But at the end of the day, driving 1,000 miles to do an event, I don't think it's something that I personally want to do, or even Lund Racing probably wants to do. But I'll let Lund Racing speak for Lund Racing. So The amount of qualifiers was a little ridiculous because we were able to potentially get up to 8 qualifiers on TX2K stuff. But at the end of the day, we just decided to do a couple because we had ran a 7-0, then a 7-2, and we were a little confused as to why the car slowed down a whole bunch. I'm trying to get these photos to show, but if anything, I'll show you the photos on my phone. So after looking at data logs, Junior noticed that the torque converter was doing something really weird. So again, we got 2 hits right off the rip, 7-0, then a 7-2, and he's like, I don't know what's going on. This doesn't look right. Let's look at the data log. Now, what is different from the last time this car ran at Bradenton to when it ran at Texas 2K? Tire size went from a 275/60/15 on a 14-inch rim to a 295 tire. I believe it's a 50 also on the same 14-inch rim. We're like, there is no way, no freaking way on God's green earth that a tire is doing this. But the other thing we had to change is a Circle D bolt together converter. So the Circle D bolt together converter had had 3 basically full throttle runs on it. Dyno time and 2 hits at the track. And again, I'm not saying anything, but I'm going to show you what it looked like after those hits. Okay, so the paint was burned off and the color had changed on it. The color had gotten pretty darn blue. So, or not blue, but it started to kind of get a little funky over here. So we're like, okay, we're obviously having some issues with the converter. So what we did, we ended up swapping in the good old trusty World Cup converter, single piece, weld together, 4M. Again, this is a 4M bolt together that lasted 3 runs. This is a 4M single piece that has won that one World Cup and has been in the car for probably close to 20 runs. So we don't know what happened, but we took that sucker out, put this sucker in, and we were met with a 673. Oh, we also went back to the 275s because the torque converter seemed to have some issues. We went back to the 275s, basically Bradenton 676 pass. In Texas, it went 673 with less boost. So now we started to notice that the car is starting to basically run out of injector. We had bumped up the mix from 50-50 meth ethanol 1R to 70-30 ethanol meth ethanol 1R. So this car is now has 70% meth, and we decided to run it out with the ID2600. It started to show a injector duty cycle issues. We then have an auxiliary 13 hundreds that is fired via the AMS, and the AMS was able to fire them and brought the total injector duty cycle from 101% all the way down to 68%. So we're like, okay, we got something here. But again, it's basically firing them, pulsing them, just not really a scientific way of doing it because we're still working with the factory computer. So the car, after bolting out that converter, met us with a immediate 473. And then we started eliminations right off the rip. Now, eliminations were thwarted because of the weather. Now, a couple of crashes happened during that event. Brian Luna's car got loose at the top end and it ended up wrecking. And then Aldo's car during eliminations also wrecked, I think on the 1-2 hit or on the 1-2, and it spun and hit the wall. So obviously, we were all worried that things were going to go down. Brett had gone down, got a little squirrely, but his car ran 656. So then we said, okay, I think we'll be okay. And then first round of eliminations, we raced a Corvette, beat it. Second round of eliminations, we ran what looked to be a Nova. I think it was a Pro Charge Nova. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to get on the computer. It might be a little laggy, so I apologize. Everything is trying to warm up and get up to snuff. But basically, we ran a Pro Charge Nova. And the thing looked serious. I think it was a big block Nova. And here we go. Here is the Nova run. Hopefully this thing doesn't absolutely freeze the fuck up. But we'll see if I can get you guys the video footage. It's not that great. It's a screen capture from Instagram. But it'll do the job. There we go.
Tyree is in. John's going to build some boost and bump in right after him. We're set. And Tyree Smith goes for the whole shot, comes up 15 thousandths red. He's gonna motor out the back door anyway. 684.
So he concentrates. I don't know why announcers do this. If the guy goes red, stop concentrating on him. He lost. But whatever. We ended up going 6.7. It's fuzzy as shit. 672 at 212. That's what really opened up our eyes. We said, wait a minute. Did we just go 212? So we basically found 3 extra mile an hour. So we were like, oh man, what is happening here? Then after that, probably the most satisfying win of the whole event. And for those that know, there's no reason to get into it. But we raced S550, four link lighter than us, S550 on a standalone with the good old Grey Goose. And he did tree Mr. John Lund Sr., but we had enough to take care of him at the top end. So right there, 665 to a 692. And obviously, we're very, very happy about that. And in the final, as everyone saw, we ended up racing probably the quickest, most notable, most known street style. I wouldn't want to say it's a street car, but it basically is a street car because, you know, people say it's a street car. Hell, the Lund Racing car is not a street car. And this is also a screen capture. We raced Brett LaSala. Senior did his job. Senior did his job. Is we just didn't have enough when we knew we didn't have enough for Mr. LaSala, but we said, hey, let's see what we can do. And Senior was, the more Senior races, the better he gets.
Right side, your number one qualifier. Left side, John Lund out of Brooksville. He is a tuner by trade out of Brooksville. This car still with a overdrive transmission and factory Ford computer. 665 is best run. They're going to build some boost and knock him in. Here we go. Whole shot goes left side to Lund. Can he hold off LaSala? No, LaSala dies.
So LaSala went a 638, 222. We had nothing for that. We went 669, 208. But I do have a top end video. And, you know, this is just proving my point that the Coyote is going to be the go-to motor for anyone that really wants to get after it. I love you guys. I know you guys are, you know, for whatever reason, maybe think that you should stick with, whatchamacallit, you should stick with, you know, your small block Chevy, small block Ford, da-da-da. But I'm talking about a lightweight package that has a ton of potential. I'm looking for the video because I could have sworn that Brandon sent it to me. The top end video of these cars getting down the track sounded so ridiculous, and I'm trying to look for it. Let me go to the email and I'll try to find it in the email. I don't care. Look, I'm gonna take my time on this one because I just got back, so I'll try to get you guys the best. Go back. I think it was this video. It was a top end video that was just freaking nuts. So Brandon handed off his phone to a guy and he was like, hey, take a video from the top end. And let me see, which one is it? Download, that's not it. I'm gonna download all of them, fuck it. Download them again. I don't give a shit. You guys are gonna have to just bear with me because I've been gone for a week. So you're just gonna have to sit there and take it. That's not it. Boy, apparently I don't have it. So I guess maybe Brandon can send it again to me. But the way these things sound on the top end is really ridiculous. So if you're at the top end listening to these cars go down the track, by the way, the top four street car elite cars was a Brian Cummins with a GT500, Brett LaSala with an FFRE Coyote, John Lund with an FFRE Coyote, and the other guy with an FFRE Gen 3 Coyote. So those, the top four cars in Street Car Elite were Ford vehicles, three of which were Coyote, three of which were FFRE Coyotes. So converter change, tire change, went back to the old trusty, and we did our best, obviously being outgunned by Brett LaSalle, and congratulations to them. So that begs the question. What do we do now? Do we then decide to pull more weight because he is still lighter than us? Because if we're going to race similar events, that's the competition. That's the metric. That's the guy you got to beat. The fact that we were out by the 330 proves that we have a good front half. We're competitive. We just don't have enough in the tank. We can go full meth Motec. We can go full meth. Yeah, full meth. If full meth happens, Motec, I think, has to happen. People say, why not Holly? Why not Fuel Tech? We're Motec dealers. So we have, let's just say, a familiarity with the Motec system. The other thing is we can absolutely run the 6R80 with a Motec. That's right. We can run the 6R80 with a Motec. So a lot of people are probably going to be like, well, why don't you go turbo 400? Why don't you go turbo 400 and just do it all? And some people understand that. Then what makes us different than anyone else if we're doing that? Here's the video. Yeah, this is not going to sound good, but I'm gonna send it to myself. But the top end video, I want to play it on this. I don't want to play it on Bondo Birch thing because it probably loses some clarity or whatever. Gmail, and I'll say top end. Oh, send it to my email, and then go top end. And the way these things sound going down the track, guys, it is serious RPM. Again, Brett's car went 224, 222 or whatever. So you could imagine. But the way they sound on the top end, I don't think any motor, any other combination of motors sound that way. Oh, look, I finally got the converter videos to show up. Download. Here we go. Let's see if this guy sounds good. So, perfect. Okay, hang tight. Here we go. And check it out. The top end video, obviously, Brett beat us by many cars, but listen to these cars get down the track. It's so stupid that coyotes are doing this. You got to understand, this is a 302 cubic inch coyote zinging at 9,800 RPMs. If you don't think that's cool, I don't know what else to tell you. So basically after that, packed up, got out of there, drove 16 hours back. Then I had to drive another three, literally got here at 7 Eastern Standard Time, and I am done. So how much boost did we give it? Because we don't want to hang the rods out of the car, we went, I think we used an 18 PSI leave, ramped up to about 51 in the middle pounds of boost. Then we bled it back down because if you stay at 51 and the car is zinging, who knows what can happen? We're not in the business of blowing stuff up. So we backed it down. I believe Brett's camp is doing over 50 PSI the whole run, but I don't know shit. But I suspect based on the mile an hour, the weight, it's probably because the motors are similar. It's probably in the 50s all the way down. We are not in the 50s all the way down. And we don't have a lockup converter on our car. So we did try 50 PSI. It felt good on the 212 pass. It saw about 49 PSI. And the senior said, this thing feels amazing. Remember guys, everyone's gonna look at both cars and say they sit exactly the same. And again, I am not poo-pooing anything Brett's camp is doing. They have a 4-link, we have a 3-link. We have basically a UPR upper control arm welded in place. And then the rest is a wishbone setup from Blacklist. So it is very serious stuff back there. 9-inch rear end, stock factory floors. We don't have carbon floors or anything like that. But in terms of the motor and the turbo stuff, it's pretty much kind of similar. They have bigger turbos and we are officially out of turbo. Lund Jr. looked at the compressor map. That's right. We looked at the compressor map of the turbo, looked at where we are in the efficiency window, and we are on the top right of it. Instead of in the middle or the top right of the island, we are at the top right of the page. So we are way out of turbo based on that combination, RPM and fuel system. So we got to do a bunch of reconfiguring if we're going to go any quicker. But then that begs the question, do we then go ahead and put a 400 in it in Motec or whatever? Now, as for the event itself, it's Texas 2K. 1320 videos there. A lot of media people are there. A couple of accidents happened that shouldn't have happened, and I'll let them talk about that. Aldo ran a 7-0 at 202 at close to 49, 48 pounds of boost. Unfortunately, that car spun in the finals versus La Sala. Literally like spun and ended up behind him and kissed the wall, but he did upload a video. He's okay, number one, and he uploaded a video of the car going to a body shop right away. Ryan Luna did not get so lucky. I'll let him talk about that. He did put a couple of posts on social media, so follow him if you want to get the skinny on that. But we all know what happened. Everyone knows. Everyone in our camp knows what happened. So I'll just let him tell the story because it's still in flux. Let's just say that. But it's Texas 2K. The stands were packed on Sunday. Saturday was a rainout, basically. So it's not the fault of TX2K. But I will say this. I don't know TJ Bailey. I've never met TJ Bailey. But goddamn it, the freaking dude can prep a track. And we had no shortage of grip. Now, Lund Racing has had some hit or misses when it comes to depending on the track. But the top the three tracks that Lund Racing chills at, Bradenton, MIR, because that's the places that we go for events, and TX2K all have had phenomenal grip. So TJ, if he's going to be the one servicing that Ennis Texas Motorplex going forward for the 2Ks, it's in very good hands. The guy is legit. Yes, Luna's okay, but at the end of the day, I'll let him kind of tell the story because let's just say it wasn't a tuning issue because I'm sure people are going to want to blame tuning because Aldo's car spun and Brian Luna's car spun. And on TikTok, the toxicity. I hope TikTok gets banned tomorrow. This is why. Did you know that there are people on TikTok saying that Brian Luna crashed because he couldn't drive or the motor or the tuner or the this? Everyone on TikTok is a fucking retard. They don't know what the fuck they're talking about. They have no idea about anything. All they see is a car go down the track, smoke comes out of the bullhorns, and the crashes, and all they do is get toxic and talk shit on Brian Luna. Now, we'd love to say that that doesn't affect people, but when so many retards, absolute butt-fucking retards, are on TikTok talking that shit on something that they know nothing about, it blows my mind. And you know what proved that to me? When Street Alpha Podcast posted the three clips of me talking about the Cobra, Gen 2, and whatever else, the comments in there are so stupid, especially on Instagram. Some of the stupidest idiots on the planet are on Instagram. But I think Texas 2K, and I am a big critic of Texas 2K. I am not a fan. I think they did the best that they could given their circumstances. So, and the other thing is, I must admit, I met a lot of you that made their way to the pit, wanted to say hi and shake hands, and you guys did it the right way. I appreciate everybody that sat back a little bit, waited for things to die down, and we ended up, talking for a little bit and everything was good. But I also understand that this is probably the only event people in that general area are going to be in. So I'm not going to talk down on TX2K. I'm not going to talk shit on TX2K. I'm not personally a fan, but they did a really good job given the circumstances. And I'm going to just leave it at that. I will not be attending any more TX2Ks, not because of anything. It's simply way too far for someone to come from South Florida, 1,062 miles away to race during a time of year that the weather pattern is a little unstable because for the last 3 or 4 years, every TX2K has had some sort of rain weird issue. Whereas in Florida, it rains, sun comes out immediately. In Texas, the sun did not come out for a full 3 or 4 days. So I'm just not going to go. If the Luns want to go, vaya con Dios. But this just proved to me that TX2K is not the event for me specifically. So what are you going to do? Okay, so we'll talk. What do you want to talk about? You want to talk about the Street Alpha podcast? Did you watch the whole thing? Do you want to talk about TX2K? I'm kind of leaving it up to you guys because I had not been on for a week. I didn't do a Talking Shit Tuesday, a YDBT Daily, or a Peasant Chat last week. So I'll let you guys ask as many questions as possible, and I'll try to get as much to them as possible. But our TX2K experience was good. Second place, $5,000 prize, and a cool little trophy, and the car drove back on the trailer. All good. I will be editing video tonight to get you a just brief recap of my experience at TX2K. I'll try to post it for tomorrow. I'm not going to do a show back-to-back days, so I'm going to just take today to get some video out, publish it tomorrow, and just chill out Thursday. Chill out Wednesday, maybe Thursday, because I need to recover. Then I'll get back after on a regular program, maybe starting Sunday, but stay tuned for that. So someone says, just tuning in, congrats on Lund Racing team for showing us how badass you guys are with that setup. Blows my mind, the car still runs a factory ECU and 6R80. The 6R80 had zero issues. I repeat, guys, the 6R80 saw a max temperature of 200 on diesel. And the moment you took off again, it went down to 180. The VCT, the variable cam timing, worked at 50 PSI and almost 10,000 RPMs. Let me please repeat that. The variable cam timing on the Grey Goose worked at 50 PSI and almost 10,000 RPMs. And our engine builder is saying, go over 10,000 RPMs. Crazy, crazy stuff. GT500 update. I have a GT500 update. Yes, I do. But I want to get everything in writing. But let's just say there is a smoking gun. And it is what I thought it was from the beginning. So there is a smoking gun on the GT500, and it is exactly what I thought it was. The builder verified it, got all new shit on there. I'll be getting the heads back pretty soon with his notes. He took a bunch of notes, and there is an update. Once I get the heads here and the notes that he gave me, I'll make a podcast just based on that. No, that's the other thing. I was outside. Nobody came up to me and talked that shit. Matter of fact, I got nothing but love from people. Like, it was weird because I went out there expecting beef with motherfuckers, and the one of the two avoided me like the plague. Did not even want, he was actually talking to Mexico Racing League saying, I don't know what homie did. I didn't tell him to go in like that. And I was like, I was there. I was outside. Ain't nobody stepped up in person and said a goddamn thing. Who knows? Who knows, Pookies? Kylie first says, the Grey Goose has the best, the most impressive car out there. I mean, look, Brett Lasala's car and White Rice was getting it. So I highly doubt that the Grey Goose was impressive. For what it was, absolutely. 10,000 RPM and still have VCT. Control is badass. Now you got to understand, this is not a sumped tank and stock factory stuff with oil pump gears. Okay? This car does not have oil pump gears. Literally does not have oil pump gears. It has an external fuel pump that is also the oil pump. So, but it is a proven concept that if you have proper scavenging and proper oil control, VCT works. And it worked at 50 PSI and 9,800 RPMs. People on TikTok and Instagram most likely never been in a vehicle which can go faster than 12s. Beyond that, a bit more. Seems like they just want to see drifting. Your thought on the new MG, on the MGW shifter for the GT500 car enthusiast? Come on. If you know me, I don't fuck with anything MGW. They make great wallets. Everyone got balls until they aren't hiding behind a keyboard. You just happen to see the Superchargers Ford release a few days ago. So again, Ford Performance is doing the same thing that they did before. They're private labeling Superchargers from Whipple. Nothing wrong with that. They did it before on their Mustangs 11 to 12. They had the 575 horsepower version, then the 625 or 600 horsepower version. Now they're claiming 800 horsepower. We know it's all bullshit. We know it's 100% bullshit. When someone buys a Ford Performance, Whipple, or any name your lid, 800 horsepower car, stock cats. Oh boy, do I have some dirt on catalytic converters and blown 24s, but I can't say nothing because, you know, it'll give up my sources. But my God. Yeah. Look, and that's the problem with the shit talking. Aldo and Brian both went 7-0, 7-1, 7-0, you know, so let him do whatever, coming to get this and this and that, whatever, bro. At the end of the day, and remember what I said about Texas Speed Motors? Remember what Alejandro Flores said about Texas Speed Motors? I don't even have to say anything anymore because others just keep proving me right. No Whipple cars got second in that class or first. Can we cover the douche himself, Peter Block? From IN, there are some extremely pissed off people at that dude. Jamie Eason, this is what you do. You don't fucking go to the event if you don't support what he does. Right? It's his event. He puts it on. If you don't like him on the mic, almost every other word, every other pass, it is his event. If you don't support his event. Don't go to his event. Don't threaten to punch him. Don't threaten to do nothing. It is his event. He is putting up money. He's putting up an event where no... How much street racing happened in Houston during Texas 2K? It died. Street racing around this time of year in Houston died. Why? Because TX2K moved to, oh my God, Ennis, Texas. I get it. It's not the sexiest place. Cops don't want you there. Understand, if you're in Ennis, Texas next year and you think you're going to bring your Z06, your Fox Body, your CTSV, your cammed truck to the track to watch a race, expect them to fuck with you. They were pulling people over going into the track. No front plate, ticket. Drag radials, ticket. So Ennis does not want you there. If you're going to go watch Texas 2K, do yourselves a favor, rent an Altima, an unassuming vehicle, and get your ass in Texas 2K. Because if you show up in your Corvette, your Mustang, your Camaro, your anything, they will fuck with you. So understand that TX2K as a street race event died. So make fun of Peter all you want. Say Peter this, Peter that. I'm going to punch him when I see him. He runs that event. He has the right to say whatever the fuck he wants in that event. And if you don't like that event, don't go. If you don't like Peter, don't go to that event. That's it. I don't care. I don't have an issue with Peter. I have an issue with the event location now. It's way too far. I lost 9 days of my life, and it's just not something I want to do. But if you're in that area and you want to see some badass racing, Texas 2K is where you go. They were pulling over anybody with a muscle car or a sports car, says Travis. Listen, damn it, when... Okay, Street Alpha was dope. Great interview. Millions of views on IGs, all IG reels already. Peter Block, watch out. I'm going to... says I'm going to suck that dick. I don't care what someone has. You cannot beat the police chopper when it goes 190. I was followed 20 minutes to the track by 3 police officers. It was wild. Rocking 37 months of things. And just want to say, Flow Racing did great job as well as this time and only this time, says Mighty 5-0. Altima busted for ball tires. Showed up in my truck and was comfortable as can be. Eric Vega. Shout out to Eric Vega. I met him in person. Knowledgeable dude. Found out that 315 gears are probably not the best for his stick setup, and found out that he needs to be launching at about 6,800 RPMs in his centrifugal car. Watch him run a 9 next time out. Great to see him, and we updated his tune. Was nice meeting you at TX2K, says Brevin Barney. Congrats on the entire Lund team. Do you have the truck? No, you, Brevin, there was a couple of you guys that were there. Your wives are fucking good looking. So they were giving me a bit of an up and down look. Do you know what I'm saying? And I think some of you were like, boy, you're bigger in person. Boy, you're bigger in person than I thought, man. Shit. And your wives would be like, he's bigger than you, boy. So don't be bringing your wives around this. Do you know what I'm saying? But no, seriously, it was great to meet you guys. A lot of you guys came down from Oklahoma. 3 guys came from Saudi Arabia. For all of a sudden, I hear, hello. What the fuck? And they're like, oh man, and this guy has a Gen 3 ESS car that runs twin turbo car, I think, that runs like 360 to 130. And I was like, yeah. And the other guy runs like low 8s. And I'm like, where are you from? He goes, Saudi. Oh, I was like, holy shit. 3 guys came from Saudi. We have Mr. Fidel, came from the Dominican Republic with his friend. I forgot his name. He hung out with us all weekend. Got me cheesecake from the Cheesecake Factory. Bro, super great people, followers, supporters, just supporting Lund Racing. And they learned a lot. If you want to learn a lot about racing, go to one race and talk to anybody at Lund. I know a lot of people have GTR, but if you're a Ford guy and you want to get on game on Coyote stuff, Eric Vega probably learned so much shit in one sitting. Eric Vega, tell me, how much did you learn that you previously didn't know by having Senior, Junior, Brandon, and me all together talking to you about your setup? Like, he must have been like, oh shit, I got to change my whole setup. Fidel came by and he's going, what's that? What's this? Why that? And he's like, I'm going to go home and change my whole setup. So what's happening out there is apparently a lot of you are getting your information from somebody else. Because this is what's happening. A lot of guys show up and they're like, I'm Lun Tun. And I go, then why the fuck do you got those parts in your car? And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, if you're Lun Tun and you're in the ticket system talking to a tuner, your tuner never told you to put that shit on. So when I'm sitting there in person talking to people, they go, oh shit. I listen to guys on Facebook. I'm wearing suspension company shirts of guys that have never raced. I'm out there. I got red parts all over my shit. And then you come, oh my God, I love you guys. You guys are great. I'm like, oh, thank you very much. What's under your car? Names all the wrong shit. And I go, wait a minute. Do you watch my show? Are you like a fan or a follower? Yeah, well, I've subscribed. I go, then why do you have all that shit on your car? Why do you have this there? Why did you choose that? And they go, yeah, you're right. Because when we start talking to them and it is confirmed with Junior, and that's, I think, what happens. I think a lot of you guys listen to the show and you go, okay, he's just fucking around. Then you go to a track. You see me, Junior, Brandon, and Senior. And they parrot exactly what I've been saying on the show, because I don't say something on the show that is 180 degrees separate from what Lund Racing believes and spits out there. So once it's verified by somebody else, then they believe it. So what's happening is y'all don't believe me, right? The people that I'm meeting that are telling you that you have parts that I never recommended, you don't believe me, and that's okay. But then when it gets verified by somebody else, you then go, shit, Alex actually was on the money, because the amount of data that I have, just like on the Street Alpha podcast, I listened to it on the way down here because I had 18 hours or so to listen to it. If I had never known anything about coyotes ever, and then all of a sudden listened to that podcast, I would have been like highly interested in getting into that platform. The amount of young men, 21 to 26 years old, that came up to me and they're like, bro, I watched you on Street Alpha. I never knew half the shit you were talking about. You actually spit some knowledge and now I'm interested in a Gen 2 coyote. Like, they're all like, I am interested. And that's all I wanted to do, is be a good representative for the coyote game, not go out there and try to be cooler than anybody else. I even said on that podcast that I am not the best tuner and I'm not looking to be the best tuner. I just want to be the best tuner for Lund Racing and give the fans or the followers or people that want to know about builds the best advice possible. Not be an arrogant asshole, because I'm sure a lot of you watch me here and think I'm an arrogant asshole, because the ones that hate me the most watch me the most. But then when you meet me in person and I do another podcast and all I do is spit knowledge, they go, fuck, I had them all wrong. A lot, says Eric Vega. Some better stuff about my current setup, gained knowledge on map efficiency. Was very glad we had the rain delay Sunday so we could talk to y'all. So for that whole day, we sat there, had a rain delay for 8 hours. Guys, you want to go racing? I'm going to tell you the schedule. Okay? I'm going to tell you the schedule of an event. And Craig Walls would absolutely check off on this. Let's say you want to go testing. Before a big event, typically they hold a tracks test session. I want to get there for the test session so I can, you know, get data on the track. Cool. So you get there for Monday. Let's say you drove 1,000 miles away. That's what we did. Took off Sunday morning. Got there Monday late. So that's 24 hours, right? So Sunday to Monday, 24 hours. Get there set at 7 a.m. Set up Tuesday. Run that day. So Sunday to Monday, the whole fucking day. Monday, 7 to 7. 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Tuesday, 7 to 7. 7 to 7 every single day. And when there was a rain delay, we did tickets. When there was a little droplets or a breakdown, we did tickets. 7 to 7 every freaking day. And the last day, we stopped racing at 10:30 at night. Then we packed up. Then we drove 19 hours back. You still want to go racing? You still want to go fucking racing? Okay, that's like 70 hours or something stupid. Let me do that math. Let me carry the one. Calculator. So, calculator. Okay, so Sunday to Monday, 24 hours. Fuck it. So, and then plus 12 times 5. So, the 12 times 6. Because it's 12-hour days. 12 plus 12. 96 hours? and then driving back? Go ahead. Go racing. Go racing. And luckily we won money. $5,000 for second place. We won $10,000 at World Cup. That didn't pay for the trip. And we luckily came back with a complete car. Unfortunately, some didn't. Car engine was good, trans was good. The car just needs a oil change and nut and bolt it, and you can go racing again. Do you want to go racing? Do you still wonder why Alex is down on racing? Unreal. Unreal. I'm not going to say I'm the best tuner, even though I should. Words of a flaming dude says, Terminator. Terminator. Okay. I'm not the best tuner ever, and I've never said I'm the best tuner. Yo, the douchebag, though. That guy's the best tuner on the planet. Some of us spend 70 hours for non-automotive work. Some of us spend 70 hours for non-automotive work, bruh. Oh, my God. Thank you guys for getting to my ticket for 23 F-150. Loving the tuning process so far. Going to do a log tonight and get it sent over. Been there, done that, brother. It's not for the faint of heart. Exactly, Craig Walls. People think that racing is fun. Oh my God, Alex looks like he's having so much fun. Are you fucking psycho? Do you know, like, everyone's asshole is like inside out from eating fried chicken, and like shitty soda? And guys, I saw a pee trough. Do you know what a pee trough is? It's exactly what, it's a trough you pee in. You see everyone's cock, okay? You go to the track, you're gonna see dicks. At a pee trough. So, dale pa abajo. Cameron says, I drove 34 hours 2 weeks ago and got into an accident. Welcome back. Sir says, Parker Performance. Thank you, sir. It's not so bad when it's only an hour or 2 hour commute to and from the track. Anything more than that? Fuck that. Alex, I think the tune taker showed up at the lawn racing booth instead. Do either XPA or BPS inlet make a difference on stock blower? Not really. You're overthinking it. Your car needs nothing but a twin 65. You're overthinking it. Twin 65 throttle body, 2.4 upper, MU52s, a BAP, and a PMAS 120, 650 real horsepower. Live a happy life. Don't go crazy. Jason says, bro, there were little puddles of pee on the floor in the bathroom. Multiple clogged toilets. Nines and slower is fun, is what I can tell. Exactly. Mike Ace just had a heart attack. Chuck says, only fun part of racing is winning. Exactly. So imagine you have raced for 2 years. Okay, let's say you go to NMRA Spring Break Shootout, the first one. Then you go to TX2K, that's two. Then you go to World Cup, that's three. FL2K, that's three. Then you go to World Cup, that's four. And let's say you're in the Schmedium class. You know, you're like a low 7 second car. You're in Street Fighter, da 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 da. And you never won shit. You have spent $30,000 attending those races, wear and tear on your vehicle, lost time. For what? And I understand when you guys hear me talk down on racing that I'm crazy. No, I am trying to keep you from making really, really bad financial decisions. Stay local. Like Lund Racing, after experiencing that, I suspect are only going to go to World Cup ever, not this year though, and FL2K. That's it. It's just not worth it. We got lucky that we won some money the first two times. After that, we're like, we have to wildly reconfigure the car if we're going to be in the top five consistently. And we're not really entering the really Billy Badass fast stuff. Not that World Cup isn't Billy Badass fast stuff, but I'm talking about the U.S. Nationals and make the car class specific. You know, like the reunion that's coming up pretty soon. That's going to be dumb. The Extreme 28 class, that's going to be dumb. So, you know, to be super competitive, you got to spend big fucking money and be willing to rebuild the Coyote 3 or 4 times a season. Do y'all think motherfuckers are out there running one full season on the same Coyote motor? You think Coyote motors at that level are lasting more than 50 passes without getting it torn down and making sure everything's good? Come on. You are smoking crack if you think one Coyote motor that's in one car is going to last 2 seasons without ever pulling it apart and having over 50 passes. Craig Walls, give me a rundown, Craig Walls. How many passes, because you were selling me a small block Ford, how many passes should I tear down an all aluminum small block Ford to have it redone and tell me how much it costs to get redone. I'm saying new rods, because you got to replace the rods, new pistons potentially, and hone it to make it fit the new pistons each time. Same crank, same block, same heads. I guarantee I got to tear it apart every 40 to 50 passes, then get new rods, new pistons, hone it, put it all together again with a bill of about $10,000 to $15,000. Am I right? Racing is fun when you're racing yourself. Competition isn't fun anymore. The 500 volts should get 500 likes too. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Look, guys, I'm going to get your shows. Don't worry. I'm just trying to get back into the swing of things. The race between Brett and Lund Sr. was badass. Yes. So Lund Sr. gets better the more he races. So the more he races, the better he gets at the light. He started in the 0.1s. He ended in the 0.07 range. So Senior is ice cold when it comes to that. Now, there's a good and bad on that. We don't have a mechanism. Remember what happens when you have a factory computer. Listen, guys, when you have a factory computer operating everything, you're depending on modules to 10R stager, separate module, AMS, boost controller, separate module, watt box, separate module. So trans brake, watt box, and boost control are separate modules. The only thing the stock computer is controlling is the engine, VCT, fueling, and transmission shifting. So what do you think that causes when it comes to delays? You have to trans brake, module, two-step, a different module, bump in, then release. Whereas a Motec, whereas a Holley, whereas a Fuel Tech, it's all integrated on one thing. So the latency, the amount of time it takes for stuff to react, is a lot quicker than a stock computer with separate modules feeding in, you know, inputting stuff in to make everything work properly. So again, that's why I need to help you guys understand that a stock computer car is insanely difficult to even cut a good light and to have it function like the way it did. Guys, we used a boost controller that is controlling boost and used a separate module from that boost controller to pulse the injectors, not separate module, but separate input or output, to pulse the ID1300 auxiliary injectors to be able to not to help the injector duty cycle of the ID2600s. So you understand how much work has to go in. So Junior has to pull off 15 logs. Engine log, AMS log, Davis box, like a Davis traction control thing. So he has to do a lot of shit. Alec released a video a few weeks ago talking about rods and pistons. Was a good video. Congrats to Team Lund and past weekend. Chuck says, I know racers running Renegade and NMRA, Ultra C comparable class, that would pull the heads off of the engine at least once per race weekend for PMs, preventive maintenance. Imagine having to do that. Nardi says, come on, Alec, spill the beans on. Please sell us on 24 on pump gas, 830 horsepower, 10.6 at blew the motor. No. I don't know anything about that. I want to be honest. I don't know anything about that. How was the chute packing by TX2K staff? Okay, let's talk about that. Thank you. Shout out to TX2K. They provided a service. The service was you, after pulling a chute, they gather the chute for you so you stay in your car, throw it inside your door or trunk, and you drive away. Now, if you've ever unpacked a chute, you understand that when you have a chute, all of the lines cannot be wound up and tangled inside each other. So you pull it taut. You pull the chute lines or the straps all the way tight. Those lines have to be all separated. They can't be intertwined and all knotted up. So the problem was happening is this. They would take the chute and do this. They'd go like this. Then they'd go. Then they open the door and throw the chute inside. So what happens is, for those of you that are listening, not watching, they would roll it up like in a ball. And then the lines are getting wound up in that ball. And then they throw it in the door. So then when Brandon and I have to undo it, we're like, holy shit. We have to unbolt it from the car and unwind it because it was taking half hour to unwind one. So we told this, you know, I think John Jr. put up a post and says, hey, can y'all like roll it up very methodically so that it just goes over each other, not like this, and then, you know, gets all bound up. And people thought we were being bitchy and complaining. No, you're actually hurting our turnaround time. Guess what the turnaround time was between the semifinal and the final? 10 minutes or maybe 15. When you made a run on the semifinal, they called you right up to the lanes again. So imagine having to undo the tightening up of the parachute from the staff, which was, thank you, appreciate that, but it actually caused more of an issue. It didn't save time, it killed us. You would see GTR guys going, what the fuck? There was two GTR guys for a half hour trying to undo the chute. So while a nice idea, they should be better trained as to how to do so, and they were trained better later on, and they ended up basically fixing the issue. We'd rather you don't touch the chute and just throw it on top of the car and let us drive back. It's crazy. I should get around 80 runs on a set of aluminum rods, says Craig Walls, but we usually try to pull everything apart at least twice a season for rings, bearings, and hone and inspection. So do me a favor. Give me a number range, Craig Walls, of what it takes to do all that. Let's say you inspect the rods and you find a cracked deal, a ring is a pin is pushing down on the piston and cracking it, and you're like, okay, pistons and rods, or a hone and new rings. What's that? Do you do it yourself, saving you money, or do you have a machine shop do it? Craig Wall says, that's running all the local Cecil races and Warriors races as well as WCF end of the year. Fuck parachutes, TBM brakes for the win. Get the fuck out of here. By the way, I know what TBM brake stands for. It's tiny brake manufacturers. I made that joke at TX2K. I'm like, what does TBM stand for? It's like tiny brake manufacturers. But whatever. They're sponsoring every car. Good for them. I care. I care zero. I'm sorry. Can't say FFRE didn't build a badass motor. Nobody can say FFRE did not build a badass motor. None of this would have been possible without FFRE and Brett and their program making sure that the vetting for the Coyote motor, being able to take 55 PSI plus and figuring out the oiling system, figuring out the crankcase pressure, figuring out the scavenging on the oil pan and oil system is crucial. And it basically verified what I've been telling you guys about catch cans. I'll release the video. I'll try to release it tomorrow. I got to stay up tonight and edit. So I'm going to release the video, and it specifically talks about ventilating the crankcase, and I will show you why Brian Luna's car and Senior's car is ventilated that way, and what the pros, because there are no cons, what the pros of properly ventilating the crankcase can do. And a lot of you guys don't seem to get it still, and that's okay. I understand. A lot of people don't understand that a catch can is not there to necessarily capture oil. In my opinion, a catch can, or a, let's say, evacuating the crankcase pressure, not necessarily through a can, but maybe a breather that is behind the car, is crucial. It's very crucial in high horsepower applications to save your rings and potential ring lands on stock motors if you're making over 800. A lot of people that run the sealed catch can, that sealed one that doesn't get rid of crankcase pressure, the sealed one just captures oil. And in my opinion, it is way more important to get rid of crankcase pressure. Get it out of there, out into the atmosphere on high horsepower applications than to capture the oil on it. So I don't want to get into what brand. I don't want to represent any fucking brand. I just know that y'all got to relieve the pressure in the crankcase by any means necessary if you want to make more power and make the, let's just say, motor happier under high horsepower applications. You see Ford drop the Gen 4 crate engine. Will they be compatible with the 3-2-1 builds? No idea. Terminator says, sorry for my inexperienced question, but why do guys run tiny brakes and not thick Brembos? Thanks. just got here. What did I miss? Mark Benson Sr. Jr. does my motors. Craig Wall says, Mark Benson Sr. Jr. does my motors and tuning. Is that the guy with the 5-second Camaro? That guy? That thing is nasty. Poor Lloyd with his shitty bump through. I don't know who that is. Oh, he said Boyd. Look, irrelevant. That name is not going to be spoken here. I said what I said. Homeboy was right there. Didn't say shit because I don't think he wanted to say shit. I think it got out of control. To be honest with you, I don't think he wanted it to get to that point. I think, but he mentioned me on the previous podcast, previous to the one where his boy was on, mentioned me, talk shit about me. Then on the second podcast, co-signed on talking shit about me. Yeah, yeah. He nodded his head. Yeah, yeah. Watch this. He's going to get spicy. Watch, watch. Then he goes up to Brian Luna and the boys at Mexico Racing League at a rental at in Houston. He's like, I didn't know what happened. I didn't think he was going to do nothing. Meaning, boy, well, I saw it. I saw you talk shit on me. I saw you co-sign homeboy talking shit on me. And now you're fucking innocent? Oh. Fuck out of here. Had your chance. Sat there, didn't do nothing. In addition to the rings failing exactly Parker performance, did you see the SpaceX launch? No, not live. It was cloudy, but I did see it live. And I'm going to be honest with you. The event fucked up my experience. Again, no one's fault. But when you're in an event, that's all you think about. That's all you think about. So, event. So then the launch happened and it wasn't special. It wasn't special to me when it should have been. So you know what I'm gonna do tomorrow? I'm gonna get up early, start doing tickets, and I'm gonna rewatch the whole replay by myself here to soak it all in because I thought it was pretty cool based on what I saw. Yeah, no. I don't care about brands at this point. What I care about is that you evacuate your fucking catch can. And I don't care if it's an open tank. I don't care, manufacturers or not. I don't give a fuck. And high horsepower applications, you got to evacuate your crankcase pressure. A bit of light oil on my map sensor when I did the GT manifold swap for 23 FM50, 4,000 miles, could only imagine high horsepower. Parker says, and that positive crankcase pressure is going to be looking for the easiest way out, which is often becomes the crank seals, timing, etc. It's easy to talk shit when your butt buddy's also talking shit. Dude had his tail tucked between his legs and is going to live in the dash. Look, again, I don't want to. The thing is with me, if I'm going to be accused of talking shit and the talking shit was defending Lund Racing, then accuse me of talking shit, buddy. I'm going to defend Lund Racing every chance I get. Anyone talks sideways, gets stupid. It's not my job, but I'm a loyal motherfucker. So if you're going to do some sideways shit to make Lund look bad, I'm going to talk shit. But then if you go on a podcast and talk that shit, and then you go on a second podcast and co-sign on talking that shit, have that same energy in person. That's all I'm saying. Nothing. By the way, that guy, the podcast guy who was also co-signing on the shit talking without knowing who the fuck I was, I said hello to him. That's right. He interviewed Aldo. He was in the Aldo pit. The Stay Hard podcast was in the Aldo pit. Interviewed him. And I said, hey, I'm that guy they were talking shit on. Appreciate you giving them a platform to talk nonsense. And he goes, orale, Holmes. Yeah, no problem. I saw your podcast on the Street Alpha things. Very good. Fuck. Bro, these podcasts, thank God Street Alpha is out there at least trying to learn something to people. My goodness. I mean, it's the internet, personalities. The motherfuckers my age, late 20s, early 30s, tend to duck smoke when it comes to the internet beef. Something going on with SpaceX. They have a testing facility near me and the amount of testing has gone through the roof. Wait, was that you talking shit about on-three performance? You mean talking truth, D-Rose? Tell me what I said, D-Rose. Tell me. Go ahead, D-Rose. Tell me what I said that was wrong. Go. Tell me what I said about on-three that was wrong. Made in China. Got to put it on three times for it to fit right. Truth makes power. That's what I said. Nobody mad enough to say it in person. They don't want nobody, whatever. No, I don't know if anybody was there, but nobody came up to me talking that shit. It's the same thing every single time I go somewhere. He's a little bigger than I thought he'd be. Every single fucking time. He's a little bigger than, yeah, I'm 2 inches on your cell phone. I'm a little bit bigger in person. That dude is your 100% typical Houston Mexican, bro. It's called go hard or stay hard. It's stay hard. Why is everyone trying to start podcasts nowadays? Because controversy sells. So he's going to go out there and bait shit talking. It's Jerry Springer. It's Maury Povich. It's all that shit. So imagine you go on a podcast and you're baited into talking shit on another shop. Now you look like an asshole when you go home and go, fuck, I didn't mean to give that shop the smoke, but he egged me on. The cameras got in my face and I thought I could talk that shit. How much shit did I talk on a 3-hour podcast with Street Alpha? Nothing. I didn't mention anything negative about anybody. Parker says, yeah, there's no false info on having it to fit on 3 times. Exactly. Ross said the same thing Alex said about the On3, but praise him. Exactly. On3 is cheap, makes power, and made in China. Homeboy echoed the same thing said on this podcast. On the podcast. Bro was trying to vent to Brian Luna about you like he doesn't know whose side Brian is on. Yeah, I don't understand that. Like, and again, Brian has no dog in this fight. But if you're going to vent to anybody, it should have been me. And I don't need to text you. I don't need to have anyone's number. I'm there. Nothing. Bryce DeWitt says, these dudes, I swear, have been watching old streams of the show all week and almost every single show from 2 years ago. Alex says, On3 makes power, tunes well. Well, Fitment isn't just the best. How is that talking shit? Exactly. But I don't got a Richard Mille watch and a Performante that's twin turbo. Bro, that sentence cemented stupidity. I was like, wow. Wow, you're fucking retarded. Raise the price of the podcast equipment. Laugh my ass off. Too many people with terrible opinions. I don't recall you saying a single name. Exactly. 6R80 with a 4R200 hub or Turbo 400 on the blower application. Who is tuning it? And if you're going to race it only, look at what happened with Cameron Fisher, right? Cameron Fisher, is that his name? With the silver Mustang that was, I mean, it has midnight stuff, but I think Cameron does his own wrenching. I'm not, you know, I don't want to take away from either party, but it's got a Turbo 400, and built motor. The thing was going 190 something, 198. Guys, the only reason, and I love Dan Rue and I love all those guys and I think they're great. The only reason Mustangs aren't going fast in roll racing is because they're drag racing. You really don't think if Brett Sr., the top Mustang guys, wanted to build a 220 mile an hour roll car that they would? No offense to the people that talk a little stuff on Mustangs. We drag race. Sr. went 212 in the quarter. Brett's been 220 something. You don't think? If they apply what they know to roll stuff, that they wouldn't be top tier immediately in the roll stuff. So I was kind of blown away by that. And look at Cameron. He's doing street stuff. And he fucked around and did 198, which is pretty damn fast for what it is. Rob got flamed. He had to defend himself on an ESS Facebook group. I don't know. See, again, I don't know. I don't know anything about that. Austin Wells, I was listening from Cam's phone on the ride home, but couldn't read the comment. Dude needs to talk to you and Lund. Do you make it right? No. Smasher, there is no making it right. I'm sorry. And walk away. That's it. Because I wasn't wrong in what I did. Defending Lund on something he did. So there is no making it right. We're not going to be boys ever. We're not going to get along ever. I take beef to the fucking grave. Fuck that. I'm sick of these fucking soft-ass motherfuckers out there in the industry trying to get some notoriety. You know, and I'm like, y'all soft in the real world. In the real world, y'all fucking soft. Every single one of y'all soft. Stupid. Jacob DeLon, thank you for the money. Appreciate you. Because roll racing is very Camaro. Making steam shit would be scary to see. Alex, did you get any of the Poontang in Texas? No, dude, I worked 12 hours a day plus. There is no time for Poontang or food. All useful information about the Coyote platform on your episode of Street Alpha. Not whining like a man child with sunglasses on some Takwache. What? What the fuck you say? On some Takwache. Roll racing is pretty much gear ratios. Hit the gas and look forward. Roll racing is clock is ticking before the coyote comes in and shuts it all down. Look, look. I love the GTR guys. I think they have good energy. Don't get it fucked up. If a serious drag racer applies what he knows to roll racing, they'll be right there with the top of the roll racing guys. You don't think so? It's an unlimited class. Unlimited turbo. Billet anything. Meth anything. Air to water, whatever. It's an unlimited class. So you're telling me a guy that runs Pro 275, a guy that runs LDR, a guy that runs Street Class, a guy that runs Extreme 28s, can't go 230 in a roll if he applies it properly? Please stop it. Didn't get to meet you guys, but didn't want to be that guy to walk up on you when you were working. I appreciate that, Jason. During the rainstorm would have been the proper time to say hello, and a lot of you took advantage, and I appreciate that. They're mad about you because you won't be their friend. Alex, you see the Kratos Viper Gen 5, 4,000 pounds with interior sound system, ran sixes, and took third place and rolled. That car is sexy. He had R888s, full-size fronts, carrying them on a roll. On a roll, carrying them. Whoop! Up, down, 4,000 pounds, 220 plus, and ran sixes. God-tier vehicle. Valley 10-speed, thank you for the videos. Valley 10-speed hooking up with the videos. Again, tomorrow I'll release a video of my recap of the race. I'll try to get you guys that video ASAP. That means I got to get up, like, either I do it tonight or get up super early and edit it and make it available for about 5 p.m. just to get back and making some money. Absolutely. All-wheel drive Coyote Twin Turbo coming in next year. Mama huevo coño, says Cesar Esparza. I'll catch a replay. Made it to West Palm for work. Lex Luthor, nice weather. It's 70 degrees right now. It's beautiful out. May 9th, doing 3, 60 to 130 in the truck. So yeah, I'd say Mustang could definitely dominate. You were handed the opportunity to roast Palm Queef on a silver platter and didn't talk that shit. I'm not that guy. Okay, so I'm one of these guys that understands that real life can come at you real fast if you talk that shit. If you are ready for that energy in person, then go ahead and talk shit. Like, I would never say something publicly that I wasn't willing to back up. And you know what that means. That means you got to be on edge. If you go to the same event, you got to be looking out. You got, and it's just stressful. But I have zero beef with any of those guys. Do I have reason to have beef? Abso-freaking-lutely. But I have zero beef with those guys. I didn't have beef with those guys. Didn't even think about them. Weren't even registering on my fucking radar, right? Then I see that happen and I'm like, oh, all right, I guess someone is willing to back that shit up. Crazy. Just wanted to point out that just 2 days ago, you got more views than the last two guys, Street Alpha Podcast, just saying, way more views than the podcast with the other guy. I wanted to help the kid out. Tooks is just, dude, guys, one of the good ones. He gets it, wants to learn. His next video is Dan Rue and Boosted Lucky. And no offense to Boosted Lucky, I'm surprised Boosted Lucky is trying to be in the same league as 7-second GTRs. You know, like, I'm like, I love you. You're punching uphill. It's tough, but it'll make for good clicks and views. And I think it'll be a good, I'll watch it because, you know, now I need to get on game because that whole audience is a lot younger. And that younger audience probably saw me for the first time and went, who the fuck is this guy just popping off on Coyote stuff? And for 2.5 hours, that's an hour longer than any other podcast he's had. Maybe a half hour less than the LS guy, I think. And people, it's almost up to 100,000 views. And again, I'm not getting that money, but I get residual stuff. I get my subscriber count is up 1,000, which is cool, awesome. And hopefully, if you came over from the Street Alpha stuff, by the way, if you are here after watching me from the Street Alpha podcast and have never seen me before, but this is the first live, put a 1 on the chat. I want to make sure that we'll say hello to the new people that came over from the Street Alpha stuff. Bust Down Mile Fun says Mad Hatter. Channel support, lunch for the win. The Grey Goose is beautiful. Did you guys see the wrap? Bro, that thing looks just, it looks like the tumbler thing from Batman. The Grey Goose, I must say, is not only built well, It is beautiful. They did a great job on the wrap. They did a great job on everything. Tons of people came around, took pictures with it, and it was nice to see it getting a little bit of recognition. I love the fact that we lined up with Brett a bunch of times because, you know, it was just a good contrast of what could be. By the way, those Quick Jacks came in handy. Those Quick Jacks, we used those Quick Jacks nonstop. It was just, come on, baby. Look at that. Come on. How can you not look at that and not think it's one of the most sexy fucking cars? One of the sexiest, what is this? Lund Racing. One of the sexiest S197s there is. Remember, stock floors, stock quarters. I think it has a carbon roof. 16-piece front end, badass hood. I mean, this thing is just super serious. And if you didn't see the Grey Goose before, we're going to show it a lot coming up. It's all over the place now. And I got a bunch of video of it. My phone ran out of I had to upload a lot of the videos because I ran out of space because I was just videoing a bunch of stuff. It did look like the Batmobile, JD Swag. Everyone my age, seeing and listening Alex for the first time, haven't been listening to years now and getting the info early. Just don't forget about me when you're famous, Alex. I will never. Matic 50, you're lying. You didn't become a street alpha. You were a street alpha guy and you came on and you became a subscriber or a member. Good for you. One and a half, says Gaia Bravo. Bro, you were right a while back talking about the high-end cars, GTRs, fucking up the track and blowing up. Now, understand this. Texas 2K, in my opinion, does a great job, whatever. The GTRs destroy the starting line. You understand? They peel up glue. They peel everything up. Now, we luckily, and you know, maybe Brett's car and maybe a select few, have a suspension setup that can pretty much hook on sand. But there are guys behind us that probably don't and rely on really good prep to get the car to go down. The GTRs destroying the line and then no dragging, no respraying, and we go right up made me nervous. Guys, when Aldo went up and spun, we were next. And I had the watch and it showed my heart rate. Of course, my face didn't show it, but I was nervous for senior. I was extremely nervous for senior. Okay, after seeing Aldo come out of the car okay, I was happy about that. Then I thought about what happened to Brian earlier, but that wasn't a track issue or a tuning issue. There's something else going on there, but I'll let him talk about it. And a couple of other cars spinning. I thought to myself, there's no way we drove 1,000 miles to spin and crash this thing. And after they fixed up Aldo's side and scraped and dragged it, they and a couple of GTRs went up, beat up the track a little bit. Then it was our turn. Sure as fuck, I was nervous. But luckily, everything held tight. TJ did a good job. Based on the conditions he was given, he did a phenomenal job. Grey Goose makes me like the 10 to 12 body style over the 13-14. Ben, sure, it is a 13-14 body style at this point. We put 13-14 lights on it and a 13-14 front end. Yeah, the lights make such a difference. Those 11-12 stock tails are fugly. We'll be getting new Grey Goose shirts, maybe. It was mainly the Huracans. JP, that podcast was awesome, though. Did those GTRs and Huracans leave the line bouncing up and down like Pogo 6? Yes. They have rear-wheel drive with front assist. And what happens is the track has drag radial prep. It just does. And for those cars to go down the track, they don't need drag radial prep. They need more like a slick prep because they run a bias-ply tire. But they also run front-wheel drive assist with those. And it just does this crazy bounce. And that's just normal. It just does how it is. How about that top-end flyby video? Sheesh, exactly. It was fun seeing the all-wheel drive GTRs hop around and then rear-wheel drive do the same thing, basically less dramatically. Spinning at 330-plus feet was crazy. TX2K needs to hire Big Country from here in California to do their prep after roll racing. TJ did a great job. I don't think it was any issue with the prep. Oh, I want to hear what MRL had to say. He gets fucked more than anyone and keeps quiet. You're not wrong. I think Brian Luna, one of the nicest guys I've ever met in my life. I don't know how he doesn't pop off. I would have been just losing my shit. But he has this either lunacy or passion for racing that I don't have. I want to build a car at that caliber, but I want to go to rentals. And then after the rental, put it back in the trailer and go home and just stare at it and go, I built that. That's all I want to do. I don't care to compete against anybody. This is why. Whose respect are you looking for? Let's do a little talking one-to-one to the 720, thank you. who are you looking respect? Who are you looking to get respect from when you're racing those classes? I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about anybody else. I don't give a fuck if anybody respects me in any of those circles. A matter of fact, I care more about what you guys think than any of what those guys think. You understand? So this is why. The industry, the racing industry as a whole, especially the events that are very social media friendly, thrive on drama, right? They don't thrive on any actual racing, in my opinion. Because let's just be honest. When a car crashes, everyone wants to watch. Oh, World Cup, guy almost dies. Holy shit, crazy. That could be the lowest point of his life. A racer. Could be the lowest point of his life. And it is in full display. Now, you would say, well, Alex, if he doesn't want to run that risk, then he shouldn't be out there racing. You know what cameramen used to do? They used to not publish accidents where a guy almost lost his life. Where an accident that looked so serious that it was an issue. Not a lot of people want to replay that in their life. But now it's front and center. The thumbnail is someone's car, life, livelihood, complete passion going up in flames. Right? I'm not going to name names on media outlets, but we know what's up. So I thought to myself, everyone's a fuck. Everyone out there, if I got one part from one company, they want to make it look like their part made that car go fast. I fucking hate that shit. I made the car go fast, not your company. Okay? So then these media outlets make money off of them showing you almost die. Whereas before, they would go, I'm not going to make money off of someone's absolute miserable day. That's not cool. And then they go, well, you know, I just want to make sure he's okay. Oh, and then the thumbnail is his foot. No, it's so stupid. So I thought to myself, whose respect am I looking to get by racing these events? Nobody's. Nobody in here is someone I respect so much that I think they're to, whoa. No. Not those events. No, thank you. I'm good. And again, I'm a nobody. I get it. I'm a nobody. Who cares about what I think, right? This is my show. If you don't care what I think, get the fuck out of the show. But at the end of the day, if you want to go racing, you have to sit down and go, why do I want to go racing? Like, why do I want to go racing? What do I want to do? What do I think is going to happen? Do you think your shop is going to springboard to some kind of, whoa, oh my God, you raced and you won. So you're mortgaging your future on this racer vehicle to get maybe more business. And then you got to remember that you have to actually do that work. So that's one of those crazy, cyclical, weird things that happens in racing. I want to run what I want to run for me. That's it. Ported pussy says one. Crashing could be over $300,000 in your life's work and your life. Thank you for the advice on the 2010 Shelbys. I was the one who asked the question at the end of the podcast. I have a question. I don't know if you can answer publicly, but I can purchase. Can I purchase a used N-Gage? You can purchase a used N-Gage, but you need a ZT2 setup, Jose Quinones, in order for us to tune your car. Like I tell my lady, there's more drama in racing than any actual real racing. If I crash and blow up my shit up, I don't want anyone knowing. Exactly. I blame Middle Eastern drifters. Seeing detached limbs 40 feet in the air got all the views. You're not wrong. Any update on your new great car? I just got home. What? Let me ask you, homie. I just got home. What update would I have on that car if I just got home from Texas 2K? Holy shit. It's no different than watching the new Focus on the Negative Misfortune. HPR says, have been shooting video at races and seen a lot of wrecks and never show them on social media. I never wanted the views because of that. Right, HPR. Imagine you get a badass shot of a car doing a wheelie down the track. Click, 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 click. Wow, it looks good. Then after that, he fucking does a backflip and the car is ruined. Yes, the backflip video might get you more views and clicks, but at what cost? It's weird. It's so weird, these weird events. I missed the start. Does FKA still suck ass for life? Absolutely. For life and for the afterlife and for infinity. Never want to see someone lose their car at their worst. Exactly. You're a nobody, but have 700 people watching you live. Crazy shit talker say, and 100,000 on a podcast. But I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. No, was not my guess. See, and this is the other thing that happens. And I'm going to defend TX2K. You're going to lose your mind here. TX2K is made fun of by other racers as not a legitimate fast car event. I think that's bullshit. I think if a tree falls in the woods and no one's there to hear it, does it make a sound? Right? Fool me once, shame on you. You can't fool me again. So if a tree falls in the woods and no one's there to hear it, does it make a sound? That's a very interesting question if you decompile it. The stands were absolutely packed. Left to right, both sides, grandstands, vendor area. Motherfuckers were everywhere. There was people mudding. It's parking in the mud, walking up. That absolutely proves to me that it's popular and it matters. And they're doing something that other racing venues are not. We talked about it on the Street Alpha podcast off camera. What does racing need to be popular? And what do you need to make money in racing? You need to get asses in seats. So, asses in seats, TX2K, FL2K, World Cup. What are they doing that the other events are not doing? All of the lights out, no mercy, packed. But then there's others that no one gives a shit, full of Billy Badass racers that no one shows up to. So you can make fun of the event all you want. That's fine. But if you want to make money and you're doing it for a business, you got to be where the eyeballs are. So Lund Racing went there, made a good showing, came up second place. No shame losing to one of the fastest street style cars out there, Brett's car. No shame in losing to that guy. In the final, mind you. So, but a lot of people saw the Grey Goose and go, who the fuck's this guy? Came out of nowhere. Saw World Cup. Who the fuck's this guy? Came out of nowhere. Visible. So, poo-poo that event all you want. But more people saw that than some faster car stuff. Like, I know guys in their 20s and 30s that don't know who the fuck John Force is. But they know who Brett LaSalle is. But they know who White Rice is. But they know who Dan Rue is. Right? They know who Brian Luna is. They know Cameron. They know. Because it's relatable to them. And if it is not relatable racing, then the interest goes away. It's just how it is. Brevin, why you leave? Yeah, Brevin's in here. I met Brevin. Brevin wanted to start his own little thing. Brevin was one of the better communicators. He wanted to start his own shop. So if you're in the Arizona area and Brevin, formerly of ESS, is there, hit him up. He's going to start doing installs, Whipple installs, ESS installs, car stuff. So check him out. After the Rob Shoemaker podcast deal, he can go for... Oh, come on, come on. Look, I get it, brother. So HPR, is HPR Brevin? Yes, we use Lund for whoever our customer chooses. Okay, so HPR is Brevin, apparently. And he used to work at ESS. He was my contact. He went on, wanted to start his own shop, do installs in the Arizona area. So if you're in the Arizona Phoenix area, I think, hit him up. He can install your Whipples, blah, blah, blah. And he will be using Lund tuning if the customer chooses to do so. Notch content soon. Guys, I'm going to get back at it. I got Notch content. I got S197 content. I got the cylinder. I'm going to get the cylinder heads back from the GT500. The Corvette got a new transmission, and the Fairmont is about to get wrapped up cage-wise. I got to ship them the radiator and the intercooler. A lot of shit's coming this summer. I don't race in the summer because it's too fucking hot, but I will get you content in the summer for sure. Hey, Alex, at your age, when do you go to events like TX2K, etc.? Do you come to the realization that you love being at home more than anything? Abso-freaking-lutely, guys. I love, and it's not an age thing. It's an experience thing. Eventually, you get to the point where you stop and look around and go, why am I doing this? And who am I doing it for? And why, and you know, baseball. I'll give you a quick example, okay? I played baseball since I was 11. Okay. I wasn't great, but I was good. And I played seriously, like really hardcore, up until I was 20. And once I knew there was no shot of me making it anywhere, I went, all right, now I'm just doing it just to stay in shape. And by the age of 34, I'm almost getting into fist fights with grown men because he hit me, he looked at me wrong. Guys think they're still going to make the majors at 34. Not me. I knew it was just for fun. Then I had a realization and I stopped. And I went, why am I doing this? I could go to the gym and stay in shape. No drama there. I could just get in shape better going to the gym and just watching my diet. This baseball shit is whack. What am I doing? I'm not going to become a Major League Baseball player. So I stopped. Happy. Shoulder stopped hurting. I got in better shape. Head is clear. Racing. Same thing happened. I'm getting after it. I'm building these cars. I'm doing all this stuff. For who? Because I wasn't happy. And then I went to a rental with Jake and my friends. And I went, this is nice. I race myself and try to improve myself. Because I don't give a fuck about what anyone else thinks. I don't care to get anyone's respect. I don't give two shits about those people's respect. And I came to that realization that competitive racing is not for me because I see no upside in it. It is a money loser, and I'm racing people who are addicted to racing, and I don't have an addictive personality. And I went, I'm done. I'll do rentals and be a happy guy. That is when I started making money and keeping it. Competitive drag racing, while fun, is a money loser. Nowhere else on the planet would you tell a financial planner, hey, I'm going to put $300,000 in this car, the rig, the truck, the fuel, the time, to maybe make $10,000 a race. I'm good. Realistic streetcar clash rules would get asses in seats. Tube chassis cars with lights don't really get attention. No drama at the gym. Don't tell Tekashi 6ix9ine that. I like to build fast cars, beat a random motherfucker on the road that I'll never see again. Alex, who wins in a fight, Data or the T-800 Terminator? The T-800 Terminator. Data got his head chopped off when he went back in time. Data's a bitch. Data could get hit by a rock in the head and like his positronic matrix is fucked, right? Data is strong if he doesn't get hit. The Terminator got his half his body chopped off and he kept dragging himself to try to get Sarah Connor. So no, for sure, the T-800. Gamblers equals racing, just kidding. Race yourself and your friends. Life is better that way. So was that Camaro actually stolen racing at Yellow Belly? No idea what you're talking about. TX2K, FL2K, the World Cup looks miserable. I'd rather sit home on Fort on 4K 85 and watch it. Not fighting crowds, dealing with yee-yee bullshit. Guys, this is what you will see at a track. If you attend FL2K, TX2K, or World Cup. Dicks. You're going to see a lot of cocks because most of the places have a pee trough. You'd literally pee in front of everybody with your cock out. So you're going to see a lot of dicks. You're going to have shitty pizza and shitty tenders. You're going to smell secondhand weed smoke nonstop. But you might buy some cool shirts and see some cool cars. And you might get stuck in the mud from parking. Again, I wanted to make sure the recap was realistic. Congrats to Senior. Congrats to Brett. Congrats to everyone that participated. I think it can be a good event if the weather holds out. So maybe they might have to move it up a month or back a month. Because in the middle of March, it seems to be an issue with rain or extreme cold temperatures all the time. Shout out to TJ. Shout out to the people that put the event on. It's an event in the middle of nowhere. And if that goes away, no one has anything going on in Texas ever except the local-ish stuff. So I think it's a good event to go to. Personally, I see no upside in either me or Lund Racing going to it. We live in a state that has three badass tracks close by. SGMP, Bradenton, and Orlando. So if you want to do events, you do No Mercy, you do World Cup. I'm sorry, you do No Mercy, you do FL2K, and you do the reunion. Or you do anything that has to do with local Extreme 28 stuff. You have tons to do in Florida. I think there's more meat on that bone than traveling to World Cup or TX2K, plain and simple. All right, guys, I'm out of here. Thank you very much for hanging out with me for a little bit. I'm going to try to get you a video tomorrow of the recap. I'll try to be back on Thursday if I have time and I'm not super tired. And, of course, we'll be back on the Peasant Chat Sunday. Get back on track. We got to talk about the Street Alpha podcast. We got to talk about more TX2K stuff. More stuff is going to come out with the events that unraveled at TX2K. So please hang tight. We're back to a regular schedule. And if you are a Lund Racing customer, be patient. Tomorrow is my Monday. Tomorrow is my first day back. So I probably have over 100 in my list. I will do my best to get you guys caught up. I will work late if I have to. I will get you guys taken care of. So please, please be patient. Thank you for the people that have been patient. Thank you for the people that showed up to TX2K, got me cheesecake, hung out with me for a little bit. Thanks for everyone really being supportive of the Lund Racing brand. You guys asked about merch. You went up there, took pictures with the car. We really appreciate you guys. We might be at FL2K, so if you do decide to go to FL2K, that's an event I will attend if Lund Racing decides to go to it. All right, guys, I'll more than likely see you on Thursday, but if I don't, obviously it's because I'm tired and catching up on work, but tomorrow there'll be a video of recapping TX2K, and at worst, I will see you guys on the Peasant Chat Sunday at 8 p.m., That's right. We are doing prime time Peasant Chat, so you guys don't get mad at me about not doing Peasant Chat, doing Peasant Chats in the morning, so more people can be around to watch me talk shit on Sunday night. All right, guys, I'm out of here. I'll see you guys either Thursday or Sunday. See you guys later. Thanks for hanging in there. Bye-bye.